Chapter 22, Through the Eyes of Dragons. Sean's family had visited Mount Rushmore the previous summer, which was when she had learned about the little-known room carved into the mountain behind Teddy Roosevelt's head. It was intended to be a museum, but the facility was never completed. This seemed like an ideal place to leave a secret message for future generations. The location was so remote that it was unlikely to be disturbed, yet it had an unmistakable landmark. There was also a landmark here on Mirth, but it was quite unlike Mount Rushmore, and it was not isolated. A town containing thousands of people was built near the base. Teddy Roosevelt looked similar here as he did on Earth, although he was missing his eyeglasses and mustache. The other three looked like women, with George Washington looking much thinner and Abe Lincoln losing his beard. Thomas Jefferson looked more feminine than the rest, but Janice was unsure why. Granny said, "Those are the famous busts of Luna, Venus, Mars, and Terra, and that's me carved in the stone behind them. I represent the role dragons play in preserving the memories of the gods." The enormous dragon carved in the stone cliffs dwarfed the human busts, and to both Juice's and Janice's amazement, it did resemble Granny. The group was resting at the top of a hill to the south. They could see both the town and the sculpture, and the sight was striking from this distance. However, Janice remembered how much more impressive the monument was up close. He couldn't fathom the scale of that gigantic dragon. Granny was continuing, "This whole mountain is known as the Temple of the Gods. The sculptures were carved over centuries as a tribute to the gods. They also protect the Shrine of the Gods behind them." Janice muttered, "Let me guess. The Shrine of the Gods is a small rectangular cave carved into the cliff behind Mars's head." Granny looked surprised and replied, "Yes, I wasn't aware you were familiar with it. The shrine is considered to be the most sacred place on Mirth. It contains the oldest and most valuable writings and religious artifacts in existence." "And it is heavily guarded, of course," groaned Janice. "There is a gauntlet of troops protecting the narrow chasm leading to it at all times," agreed Granny. "Only the high priests are permitted to enter the shrine, where they study the ancient rolls almost every night." "Well, one of those scrolls probably contains the missing clue," sighed Janice.
"Good thing you brought a couple of dragons," laughed Juice.
"We'll go just before dawn," added Granny. "Let's get something to eat and get a good night's rest. Today's flight wore me out." They flew to a small stream several miles to the south for lunch. There were very few water sources out here, and Janice realized more than half his food supplies were gone as well. He had one chance to get the information he needed, which would happen in less than 12 hours. Janice replaced the uneaten half of his lunch back in his pack. He suddenly wasn't hungry. Juice burped after a long drink of water and suggested, "I think it would be a good idea to scout the area before we bed down. I'm going to do a flyover." Janice jumped up and agreed,
"That's a great idea. I'll come with you."
Granny interrupted the boys, saying, "That is an excellent idea, Beetlejuice. However, neither of you are going. I will go." Juice and Janice began to complain, but stopped after Granny delivered one of those withering glares that only a parent can produce. She added, "In fact, I am going to roost on top of Luna's head to keep an eye on the place tonight. It will be like old times, back when I posed for my dragon sculpture. The people will celebrate my homecoming after all these centuries." Then she looked at Janice and added, "And the mighty dragon cannot bring a human companion."
"She's right, dude," sighed Juice with disappointment. Janice could only think of one possible rebuke and pleaded,
"But Juice and I need to know what we're facing. We won't know if you stay there, and we'll only know it secondhand if you return. We'll be flying in under darkness, and we need to know what to expect."
Juice agreed, "The dude is right, Granny. You can't argue with his logic."
Granny smiled and said, "You are a clever lad, Janice, but you still cannot come. However, I have another idea. You have become quite adept at telepathically communicating with dragons. Are you ready for your next lesson?"
Janice stared at her and answered, "Yeah, I guess so."
Granny grinned and explained, "We've been communicating thoughts. Dragons can also share experiences. We can actually feel each other's physical and emotional sensations if we concentrate hard enough. That includes seeing through each other's eyes." Janice's eyes widened with surprise, but before he could speak, Juice cried out, "We can do that?" Neither Juice nor Granny could keep from laughing, which only became louder when Juice complained,
Hey, guys, why didn't anyone ever tell me? Come on, guys, this isn't funny. I mean it, like, how was I supposed to know?
The two finally stopped laughing once Juice sat down and sulked, but began again when he opened his mouth for another remark. They finally managed to control themselves and sat down next to their companion. Granny explained, "Don't feel bad, Beetlejuice. This is something only female dragons do. I'm not sure it has ever been taught to a male dragon. There is probably some sort of rule against doing so, but I'm old, and I don't really care. So I'll teach you both."
Juice grumbled, "My name is Juice, and yes, I would very much appreciate learning how to do this. What other secrets do girl dragons keep from guys?"
Granny chuckled, "You have no idea, Juice, but that is why they are secrets. Now, close your eyes and concentrate on me." Juice and Janice sat across from Granny, closed their eyes, and concentrated. Nothing happened for several minutes until Janice mentioned that his skin felt itchy. Granny said that was good and opened her eyes. As soon as she did, Janice screamed, "I can see myself!" Juice yelled, "No fair! How come the human can do it and I can't?"
Granny turned to console her great-grandson, and Janice immediately puked.
That broke the spell, but Janice kept retching until there was vomit everywhere. It was Juice's turn to laugh, but Granny calmly explained that this was a common first-time reaction. Your mind gets confused when it senses motion, even though your body didn't move. The sensation throws off your equilibrium and often produces motion sickness. Janice stumbled to the screen to recover and clean up while Granny continued to work with Juice. A few moments later, Juice's stomach exploded. The small meadow was immediately covered in dragon vomit, including the partially digested deer he ate for lunch. Janice retched again due to the stench and was grateful he had eaten a small lunch.
"That was awful! No wonder this stuff isn't taught in school. I think I hacked up a gastrolith," Juice moaned as he stumbled off toward the stream.
A half hour later, they had cleansed themselves and moved to a fresh meadow upstream. Granny assured them that their second attempt would be much better, and they tried again. This time, both boys connected with Granny, who stood perfectly still with her eyes closed as they became comfortable with the sensation.
Janice marveled at the feel of the old dragon's body. He felt her heart beating, her long tail, and the slightly scratchy sensation of her scales as they slid over her tough dragon skin hide. Then she slowly unfolded her wings, and Janice felt their tough, leathery skin stretch between her fingers. He had never realized that a dragon's wings were actually their hands with webbed fingers. Granny evidently realized the same thing as she shared, "Child, your arms are so long and your wings are so small. How do you manage to do anything useful with those deformed appendages?"
Janice laughed and replied, "They work quite well as long as you don't need to fly. I wish I had a tail like yours, though. It feels amazing."
Juice chuckled, "That's right, you don't have one. All I feel is your butt.
Hey, I can feel your butt."
Janice grumbled, "Stay away from my butt." Granny warned, "Boys, behave yourselves. This is one of the reasons we don't share this knowledge with male dragons. Now, pay attention. I am going to open my eyes and slowly move my head." Their instructor opened her eyes and the boys saw themselves as Granny saw them. She slowly turned her head and their stomachs churned as their view of the world shifted while they didn't, but neither became sick. A few minutes later, she was moving her head right, left, up, and down on her long neck with no ill effects. At least, her movement produced no ill effects until Juice opened his eyes and shouted, "This is so cool! I think we..."
All three of them puked this time.
"Never, ever open your eyes like that without warning us," groaned Granny.
Juice apologized. "Yes, great-grandmother, it won't happen again." The trio washed in the stream and migrated to yet another meadow. Granny explained that it is considered polite only to have one member open their eyes at a time. Trying to simultaneously process multiple visual images was challenging for even the most skilled dragons. It is, however, possible to handle a dozen or more views, but only with extensive practice and warning. Participants must always warn the others when they are about to open their eyes so that the others can brace themselves for the experience. Juice apologized again, and Janice felt sorry for his friend's embarrassment. He was also glad that he wasn't the one who opened his eyes. Granny, however, pointed out that she needed to leave before sunset. Arriving after dark would not help them very much. She instructed them to close their eyes and concentrate again, and they found their connection much more quickly. Then she hopped a few steps, flapped her wings, and lifted off the ground. Sean had ridden on airplanes and Janice had ridden on flying dragons. However, neither had ever felt what it was like to actually fly before. Janice felt Granny's webbing stretch with the forceful push of each wing flap. He felt the rush of wind flowing over her head and along her streamlined body. The boy reveled in the sensation of movement as each slight fingertip flexing or tail switch adjusted her direction, enjoying the thrill of every drop and rise in her flight. But he also felt the weariness in Granny's muscles. Janice now understood how much strain this journey put on this elderly dragon. "Thank you for the experience, Granny, but let's go inspect the shrine entrance and rest for the night," suggested Janice. Granny said nothing, but both Juice and Janice could feel her appreciation at his thoughtfulness. She flew in a low circle far to the west and north before pumping her strong but tired wings to rise high in the sky a mile northwest of the town. Juice complained, "Granny, you don't need to show off for us. We know that you're tired." Granny grinned and said, "Oh, I'm not doing this for you. I'm doing it for the townspeople, and I'm coming from the north because I don't want to give away your roosting place." Janice understood what she was doing. "You want to show them that their fabled dragon is still as powerful and intimidating as ever. You are a clever old bird." Granny chuckled, "And you would deprive an old bird of a little amusement?" Juice gleefully replied, "Heck no, go for it, Granny. Give it all you've got." Granny pulled in her wings and plummeted toward Mirth. Janice's stomach lurched as he saw the rapidly approaching groundswell in size. Granny extended her wings at the last minute just above the statues. Their descent had slowed, but they were still gaining speed, and Janice thought her wings were going to tear or her fingers break. Granny leveled off at rooftop height just as they passed the town, and there was a tremendous explosion. People fled, a building collapsed, and Juice screamed, "What was that?" as Granny soared skyward laughing. Janice cried, "That was a sonic boom. Granny, you just flew faster than sound. Are you all right?" "All right," laughed Granny. "I feel great. Okay, I'm a little sore, but I haven't done that in centuries." Oh, that brought back memories. She circled around to the northwest as low as she could and emerged from behind to roost on Luna's head with a grand flourish. "Now that is how you make an entrance, gentlemen," Granny stated with authority and some heavy breathing. "No argument here. You are a god, Granny," agreed Juice, who was also panting with excitement. "And that is why this mountain has been carved into a magnificent statue of me," concurred Granny. She folded her wings and turned to face away from the town. The carved dragon was impressive from a distance and genuinely awe-inspiring up close. Janice remembered Sean's amazement at the size of Mount Rushmore's carvings, and this dragon was 10 times their size. And there at its base was the Shrine of the Gods. Pairs of guards were stationed along the long, narrow path to it, and it was sealed by a massive wooden door. "When did they put a door on it?" wondered Janice in disappointment. "I don't know. It has always had one," answered Granny, who was still breathing hard. "Well, at least you'll have privacy to look around once you're inside," observed Juice.
"Yeah, once I'm inside," repeated Janice with disappointment. He had no idea how to make that happen. Granny curled up and quickly went to sleep as the townspeople scurried about in confusion over what her arrival might mean. Juice and Janice, however, stayed up late into the night brainstorming ideas of how to enter and escape from the chamber. Juice wanted to breathe a fiery blast down the narrow gorge. It would eliminate all the guards, delay reinforcements, and burn down the heavy wooden door. Janice vehemently disagreed. He had no desire to kill dozens of innocent people merely doing their job, and using fire had other undesirable consequences.
"Scrolls, Juice. The shrine is filled with ancient scrolls, man. Burn the door down and the clues we're looking for go up in flames as well. There has to be another way," he lamented. They came up with numerous ideas, but none were acceptable. Finally, Merlin spoke up to say, "I might have a way to get you into the chamber, but I can't get you out." The boy and dragon looked at the old wizard expectantly for several long seconds before Juice shouted, "Don't tease us, Merle! What's your solution?" Merlin smiled a sly grin and said, "Well, I am wearing a Soul Reaper's body. I think it has enough energy to teleport you inside the chamber. However, it's a one-way trip. It definitely does not have enough energy to teleport you out." Juice sighed. "Great idea, Merle, but half a solution is no better than no solution. Janice disagreed and said, but it isn't half a solution. Once we're done, we just walk out.
He grinned at his perplexed friends and added, everyone fears the Soul Reapers. Merle simply has the Soul Reaper escort me out to a point where you and Granny can swoop down and carry us away. It's perfect.
Juice grumbled. I wouldn't call it perfect, but it's the best we have. Let's get some sleep. It's going to be an early morning and a busy day.